It's time for the Coach Groves Show, where we sit down with the head coach of the Darlington Tigers football team and talk about all things Darlington School football. Now we go live to Matt Davis and Ian Griffin, who are standing by with Coach Wayne Groves.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I had to do it. I don't know why.
He can't help himself. Welcome to the Coach Groves Show. The buzzer has sounded. The horn has blown, and it's time to go.
It's an air horn.
We're going to talk a little Darlington Tigers football with the head Tiger himself, Wayne Groves. So it's good to be here. Matt, what do we got on the docket tonight?
Well, the first thing we want to do is take this opportunity to welcome Coach Groves to the Coach Groves Show. How are you doing, Coach?
Good. Very good this evening. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. I'm always excited to talk about some Darlington Tigers football. So first things first, let's talk about last week's game. Of course, you guys went up to Tryon. The result wasn't exactly what you were looking for, but there's always positives, you know, in these situations, and your guys really battled hard. So first, let's start there and tell us, Coach, what you liked about what you saw from the performance from the Tigers last week.
Well, you know, we didn't play well enough to get the job done, you know, and first person I'm always going to look at is me in that situation. But, you know, what I was proud of is our kids played extremely hard. You know, we didn't never back down, never quit, never stopped coming after them, and we played hard. So, you know, we do that. You know, we can build off that for this week going into the playoffs, you know, and you know, we're not going to see quite a strong as opponent as Tryon, even though we are going to see a good quality opponent, Whitfield.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, obviously the turnovers were a backbreaker in the game, but, you know, talk a little bit more about how you've installed this culture. These kids didn't quit. They fought till the end when they could have easily just rolled over and let the game get out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of positives, you know, in the ball game. You know, one, we moved the football on them. You know, we had a ton of yards. We were over 300 yards of offense and things like that. So we were able to throw the ball some on them. We ran the ball effectively at times in the ball game, and we couldn't finish drives. You know, we had four turnovers. You know, a fumble, and then three interceptions, and so we gave them some short fields that gave them some advantages there, and then put the defense in some bad situations. But, you know, we had some good stops on defense. We had some good solid downs of defensive play sometimes. And then, you know, it'd be five or six good plays, and then one would miss a tackle. And, you know, credit to them. You know, Toby Maddox is a really good player, and they got some other good, really good players on that football team. They got a big offensive line, and, you know, they executed well.
Well, Coach, we want to talk about the Honeymoon Bakery icing on the cake player of the game. And it was somebody that's won it a couple of times this year, but he played a different position this past week. Sammy Konchesky lined up as a wide receiver. He caught a screen pass, went 80 yards on y'all's first offensive play from scrimmage, had seven receptions for 130 yards. So tell us a little bit about his performance from last week.
Well, you know, Sammy's just he's a tough throwback football player, and so he just wants to do whatever it takes to help this football team win. And so, you know, it's no surprise that, you know, he's – played quarterback, so he has a total knowledge of the offense. And so, you know, it was an easy transition to move him to let him play some slot receiver, and he was very effective. You know, not only did he catch the ball well, you know, he had some good blocks out there as well, too, when asked to do that. So, it definitely makes us more dynamic on offense to have another playmaker like Sammy with that kind of speed and that kind of ball skills to help us on offense.
And, you know, obviously Luke Parker had to step up when Sammy was injured against our Murchie. He's performed really well. What's it mean to you to have two guys that you can count on with ball in their hands?
Well, you know, you just never know how these games are going to unfold, you know, and what we may have to, you know, tweak the game plan and go. And so you got two guys that are kind of different in skill set. You know, Sammy, he's probably a little better with his legs and running in the run game and on the boots and play action stuff. And then, you know, Luke can step in the pocket and kind of pick folks apart that way. So, you know, it's good to have, you know, different bullets in the chamber when you need them at quarterback for sure.
Well, Coach, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about the Black Shirt Awards. Of course, the end result of the regular season, a 6-4 season, trip to the playoffs. So you got a winning record there, and looking forward to turning our attention to the playoffs coming up this weekend, which is super exciting. But as we get ready to wrap up this segment, Coach, tell us about this week's Black Shirt Awards.
All right, the Black Shirts for the Tryon game on offense, we went with Sammy. You know, we just thought playing a new position and being able to go out there and be that productive, You know, he definitely needed to have that. You know, we had some guys on the offensive line. I'd say Stephen Moore would be an honorable mention that we talked about in our coaches' meeting that blocked really well, that was physical, that's getting better. But Sammy did get the black shirt on offense. On defense, I gave two. You know, I thought Sam Wooten was very productive. You know, I thought he played very physical and made a lot of production in the ball game. And then Demarion Floyd, I thought, you know, out there at corner, you know, they tried to throw the ball on his side numerous times, and he's deflecting it, and he's breaking things up. And, you know, I thought Demarion made some good tackles out there as well. So Demarion gets the black shirt on defense with Sam Wooten. On special teams, McKay Rush, you know, just about every field goal or extra point attempt, you know, our guys are coming hard. And that's the thing, we emphasize that. You know, that's those points there, and, you know, make or break could become an outcome in the game. So our kids have bought into that, and they come, you know, hard as all get out. And so McKay's in there. He blocked an extra point and blocked a field goal. So McKay gets the special teams black shirt. And then on Scout O, this is a kid that's going to be really – he just can't quite been good enough to break into the starting lineup. And I think he's earned some black shirts early in the year. And I had a good conversation with him last week to let him know that, hey, you are going to be a future great football player here, and we appreciate what you do on the Scout. And that's Cam Burns, and he's busting his tail always on the Scout O and D. And then Scout D, Trenton Moore got the Scout D, and he's kind of the same deal. He hadn't been quite – well, he started about three or four games during some injuries, but he hadn't quite been able to break it back into the starting lineup since then. But he's making plays on Scout O and Scout D. And so Trenton Moore, he's a junior linebacker and receiver that's going to be a good player next year. But he's going to get the black shirt for that.
And Coach, you know, three phases of the game. You got your offense, defense, special teams. The special teams were, we thought, pretty darn special last Friday. So talk about that opening sequence in the second half. I mean, it looked like the Tigers were going to climb back in and make it a four-quarter fight at that point.
Yeah, so we made a little adjustment on the kickoff return. You know, we had a kid that was, you know, blocking the wrong guy and had the wrong, you know, count in our kickoff return. So that was one of the adjustments we talked about at halftime, and we knew we thought we could get something on them. And so they have an all-state kicker. And so, you know, I told Talon, I said, let's just back up. I think we got something. Let's back up to the one-yard line. And even if you have to tip it back to yourself, let's keep that thing on the field and let's see what we can get right here. And he didn't kick in the end zone. And so we fit it up, and I'm talking about it's a clinic tape. You know, when I go to the football clinics and speak, it's a clinic tape of being able to fit up that left, what I call hammer left return. And so, you know, Talon was able to use his speed and take it all the way. But it was perfect blocks. We didn't have one missed block on that thing, and it was fit up really nice. And then, you know, right after that, you know, I'm going to be aggressive. I want to keep the momentum rolling. So we decided to surprise onside kick. And so Ade kicked a really good kick there. And you know, we got different responsibilities up there. The kids executed that, and Stuart Grigsby ended up coming up with the ball. You know, freshman linebacker and receiver running back, Stuart Grigsby comes up with the ball. And actually, their kid kind of had it in their hand, and Stuart just ripped it away from him. So, you know, good aggressive play by Stuart.
And, Coach, I got to tell you, Kelly, we got a comment or two here on our Facebook Live feed. Kelly Fountain's becoming kind of a regular to your show here, and he said, still – John J. Groves. Just thought we'd throw that out there for you. Thanks for chiming in, Kelly. We appreciate that.
Yeah, and Coach, before we end this first segment, I did want to ask, you know, the regular season's over. We move on to the second season, which is the playoffs. You know, tough loss to end the season, but what are some of the things that the building blocks that you have in building this program as a whole? This is just your first year, and it's been a successful first year. So what have you seen from your players, and how do you feel this program's moving forward?
Well, you know, we're still a fairly young team. We have a ton of underclassmen that are getting a lot of snaps on Friday night. So, you know, just develop that. You know, and Darlington's got a rich tradition. You know, they've been in the playoffs 16 straight years. And so I think, you know, that's the bare minimum expectation when you're at Darlington. And that's the bare minimum expectation that I hold to myself. We're going to make the playoffs. And so making it for the 17th straight year, you know, that's a big deal, especially, if, you know, with how many seniors and how many players that we had to replace from last year. And so getting there, that's the thing. You know, you're in the tournament. You're in the tournament. And I don't know, we may have seen the best team already in the tournament. And so, you know, a few breaks here and there, that trying game could have been a different outcome, you know. So, you know, we may have already seen them. So if we get to see them again, you know, we'll be better prepared, ready for that. And so everybody's record 0-0 now. It doesn't matter if you're 10-0. It doesn't matter if you're getting this thing. Some teams, I can't believe it, but some teams are getting in at 1-9. They won the right ball game. But – you know, everybody's record 0-0 now. And so if you eliminate one team, my message to the team is you eliminate 16 teams. And so we want to be in the Sweet 16. It doesn't matter how we do it. We just got to win by 1 point or more, and we'll set us up, and we'll go to the Sweet 16. We can see what happens then.
Man, we're just wrapping up the first segment of the show, Ian. I'm ready for Friday night.
I am
He's
too.
Getting us fired up in here for some Tigers football. Well, let's see, folks. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. This is the Coach Grove Show on the WLAQ YouTube channel, also the Facebook Live feed. We appreciate you joining us. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have the Getting to Know Coach segment of the week. And I got a feeling this one's going to be a fun one. So we're going to get to that coming up in just a couple of moments. But this is the Coach Grove Show. We'll be back.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
Well, we just got a text message from our buddy Nathan. He said we're dialed in. And if he says we're dialed in, we're dialed in.
Excellent.
You know? Yeah. Let's see. Let's go ahead and have the Getting to Know Coach question of the week. And, Coach, this one is a little bit different, I suppose, than some of the ones we've had this year. But what was your first car? And then the follow-up to that will be, what is your dream car that you'd always like to have?
All right. My first car, it was a 88 Jeep Grand Cherokee, black. My dad bought it. It was wrecked. My dad bought it for $500. And, of course, you know, I had to work to pay him back for that. And then he did a lot of work into it and helped me fix it up. And so we cleaned that thing up. And it wasn't very nice when we got it, but we worked and kind of put it together there at the shop and got it back rolling and got it painted. And so I drove that thing around. That was my friends called it the Hustler. That was the Hustler.
I was going to ask about it.
But yeah, that was the 88 black Grand Cherokee, the Hustler.
I like that. And we'll get back to the second question in a second. But Ian, what was your first car, man?
A 1992 Nissan Stanza with hand-me-down from my dad. He was a Methodist minister, but he traveled to all the churches across Georgia, and he was on the road a lot. And all I remember about that car is that he broke his arm, and he was driving, and it was his left arm. So he would rest this blue cast on the armrest, and so the dye ran out all over. So I had a blue armrest from my dad's cast. But anyway, I threw all kinds of rock and roll stickers on that bad boy, and my friends dubbed it the Babe Magnet.
Oh, gosh.
Man, the Hustler, the Babe, what was yours called?
You guys have these great nicknames for your cars. I'm going to tell you about my first one. My first one was a 1988 Dodge Dakota pickup truck. It was red, and it had these blue running lights down the sides. We did not put those on there. They were already there. And then on the back had mud flaps with Yosemite Sam that said, "Back off, man."
Wow.
We all got a kick out of
that. That fits you, so it doesn't fit you at all.
Well, the next car that I got, not too long after that, was a Mitsubishi, I think you pronounce it Priusus, but it was not a very...
Prius?
No, it's a Prius. This was long before the Prius. But anyway, so it wasn't a cool-looking car at all, and my friends called it Precious. So you guys had the Hustler, and what was yours again?
The Babe Magnet.
The Babe That's Magnet. Right. Mine was Precious. So there you go. Thankfully, I didn't have that long, and I ended up with a Jeep Cherokee, which I really love.
Well, sweet. Y'all both shared that. I had a buddy with a Jeep Cherokee who could turn the windshield wiper fluid on the back, would turn around, and we would ride down Shorter Avenue when our friends were behind us, sometimes not our friends, and you could use it like a squirt gun on the car behind you.
But I think of the Dodge Dakota that I had, my dad's favorite feature was that it was had a bunch of miles on it, and when it got up to about 50 miles an hour, the steering wheel started shaking, so you had to kind of slow down, but even though it was unintentional. Well, anything else you want to cover here?
I want to hear about this. What's the dream car? We got to go there.
You know, I like those the Dodge Challengers, the SRT Hellcats. I like those guys. You know, I think about 800 horsepower. I think those are pretty cool. You know, maybe one in like a plum crazy purple. You know, something like that.
Heck yeah.
What about you, Ian?
Oddly enough, I can't work on cars. I'm no good at fixing things. That's not my forte. But I want one of the new VW buses so that I can go camping with my family and be able to just pull off the road and pop the top and
a hippie and wagon.
Yeah, hippie wagon. Yeah, absolutely.
I got you. Yeah. For me, it's kind of standard. I've always wanted to have a Toyota Tacoma truck, but it's just not very practical for me to have one at this point in my life. But I love those trucks. I know everybody and their brother's got one, but I want to have one specifically in that army green color. I think it's fantastic. But anyway, yeah, nothing too exciting there, I suppose. But all right, well, that's going to put a wrap on this segment, our Getting to Know Coach segment here. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's going to be all about talking about the first playoff matchup coming up this week at Whitfield Academy. I know if you've never seen this before, it looks like it's Whitefield, but it's actually pronounced Whitfield. So anyway, we'll come back and talk about that. But this is the Coach Grove Show. We're glad you are with us.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Coach Grove Show on the WLAQ YouTube channel, also our Facebook live feed. And as we always say, we're glad that you've chosen to be with us tonight, spend some time with us so we can talk some Darlington Tigers football. And now we're getting ready for that third part of the season that you hope you're in position for. And the Darlington Tigers, as Coach pointed out, as they typically are again in the playoffs and getting ready to go up to Whitfield Academy. So the first thing we wanted to ask you, Coach, this Whitfield Academy team, they are the number one seed out of 6A Division I after winning their first region title since 2008 last week. I know you've probably seen a pretty good amount of film on them at this point in time. So what were your initial impressions of this team when you saw them on film?
Well, they have two big tackles, and they're very athletic, and their team speed overall is really good. So that's going to – it'll pose a problem. You know, we got them at about 72% run, 28% pass. So they like to run the football first, throw it second. So what you're going to see out of them formation-wise, you're going to see a lot of trips. You're going to see a lot of pistol shotgun stuff. So the quarterback, the single tailback is going to be right behind the quarterback, and that's what we call the pistol formation instead of being what normal or you know, what you see more of is the shotgun with the back on the side. We call sidecar of the quarterback. So you're going to see some pistol stuff. You're going to see some 11 personnel, some fullback and tight end formations. You're going to see some wishbone, you know, some old school wishbone again. Not too tights like Dade County, but they get some wishbone and they got split ends in there. So you know, there's an option aspect, some inside beer and toss plays that they do out of that, and then. You know, their top runs, you know, you'll see counter gut is going to be their top run play. That's where, you know, the back's going to counter away, bend it back. They're going to pull guard and tackle pull. And so then you're going to see some power plays. You're going to see quarterback runs. We said the quarterback is really fast. Number two, Callum Neese, really, really, I would be surprised if he's not the shortstop on the baseball team. He just seems like that kind of athletic kid. But he runs the ball really well. You're going to see some tall sweep. You're going to see some ISO and then some regular inside zone. You know, pass plays, they love to take vertical shots. You know, you're going to get one of those about every 5 to 6 plays. They're going to take a vertical shot and try to get you deep. And they got some receivers that can stretch the field. You're going to see some slant routes. You're going to see some smash routes. Some hitches and goes is what they do really well.
Now, when it comes to that option aspect, what's the best way to prepare for that in practice and have your defense ready for that wrinkle?
Well, throughout the year, whether we see an option team or not, we do no ball option as a part of our practice every day. And so we do the option aspects, the dive phase, the quarterback run phase, and then the pitch phase, and make sure all our guys have their correct responsibilities. So when we play an option team, we just got to go back, okay, we remember no ball option. Well, we're going to have to put that into effect this week. So it's just something that's built in. I think that's kind of a staple of what you got to do in the defensive world to be able to prepare for those things. And so we should be ready for that. It shouldn't be an issue. Our defense handles those things as long as the kids play like their base technique tells them to play. But yeah, should be interesting.
Well, Coach, as far as preparation for, you know, this playoff-type situation, obviously they had the game on Friday and then turn around and start getting prepared for this game. Walk us through what that process is like. Is it similar for preparing for, you know, just a regular season game, or do you change anything up in terms of how you approach things getting ready for the playoffs?
Well, you know, I want our kids to be, you know, fired up about the playoffs. I want them to be, you know, excited to be out there. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll make this run as long as we can. And so, you know, if the kids are fresh, if they're motivated, if they're excited about being out there, then this team will keep rolling in the playoffs. And so, you know, we do cut a little bit. We cut 5 minutes of Indy from offense. We cut 5 minutes Indy from defense. We cut a couple of the little mixed group periods. And so we try to be off the field with an hour and 45 minutes, you know, on a Monday and Tuesday. You know, on today, Wednesday, I wanted to be off the field in an hour and a half. You know, so, and then tomorrow morning it'll be right at an hour. We practice it at 5:45 in the morning. So, you know, we want to cut. We don't want to, you know, miss out on anything it takes to get better or to win the game. But, you know, I do want it to be fast. I want it to be high tempo, and I want us to be efficient and be able to get off the field and be excited about playing and rest our legs and be ready to go.
Now, with the playoffs obviously being the baseline for where Darlington football or what you want to achieve in a season, you've known which region you were going to match up against for a while. So talk about the scouting process, what you've seen from that region, and when you guys start looking at film to prepare for this.
Well, you know, we don't get ahead as far as opponents, and we really didn't know where we were going to fall before last week, and we really didn't know where their region was going to fall until then, you know, last Friday night. And so it would have just been a waste of time, really, if we started, you know, trying to break down four teams at once while we're still playing a game. So we just take it one game at a time. And as soon as we knew who our opponent was, we started working those film trades and trying to get as much film on those guys as possible. And then, you know, we worked on Saturday from about 7 until about noon, and then came back in Sunday morning at 6 a.m. and we grinded it out to about 1 o'clock as well. So we feel like we got a good plan, so we just got to get out there and execute.
And we talked about Whitfield Academy's offense, but what are we going to see from them on the defense?
Okay, defense, you're going to see a 4-3 defense. You know, you're going to see cover 3, you're going to see some cover 1 and some cover 0. Kind of their top guys that stand out, defensive end, number 58, Harrison Rowe, 6'2", 235 senior. He's the strong side defensive end, but he's really productive, and he's a really good player. Inside defensive tackle, 59, Case Martin, he's 6'1", 205. He's really strong and physical in there. Their best linebackers, number 15, Wyman Shaheen, number 5'10", 190 senior. He also plays their tight end, plays some fullback stuff for them, and so he's a good player on both sides of the ball. And they have two very physical corners, Bryson Logan, who's a productive receiver for them that's caught touchdown passes, and then cornerback Bryce Duck. So they're athletic and physical corners. So, you know, it'll be a challenge.
And, Coach, as far as getting prepared for the game, as far as, you know, how the tone has been in terms of practice this week, what's the intensity been like? And as far as the leadership you've seen from your guys getting ready for this game and how they've approached this week?
Well, the intensity can always be better. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna stay on them and make sure that, you know, there's a time in practice where, you know, we're not banging on each other. We're doing individual drills, and that's a little more, you know, punching on bags and working on fits, working on eye discipline. But when it comes to team time, you know, it's time to, if we're doing a 6 or 8 play series, it's time to be physical. And so we got to understand that it's time to execute, and we got to get it done Monday through Thursday so we can execute it on Friday. And so, you know, I always tell them, you got to make the play first in practice before you make the play. We got a great plan, and we're showing you what those guys do. Let's do it at a high level on Monday through Thursday so it can happen again on Friday when it really, really counts, when the lights are on.
And I'm expecting that we're going to see a lot of purple and white on the road. Is there do you know if there's going to be a spirit bus for the students, and what do you expect? What's your rallying cry to all those Tiger fans out there?
Well, we definitely need you there. I mean, it's, you know, anytime you go on the road in the playoffs and you're playing in someone else's place, you want some fans there to make the difference. So, you know, if you're not doing anything on Friday and you got purple, you need to be there. So the kids need you. You know, one thing that's interesting as far as this game goes is this school has, Whitfield has no visitor stands, so the visitor section is on the home side. And so, you know, we want to be able to look out over there, and we want to see our fans react and see our fans fired up when we come out and when we make plays. And so it'll just get the boys fired up, get us to play harder if we have that. So come on out, Tiger Nation.
Yeah, we definitely second that. And we do want to mention that, you know, in the event that you cannot make it to the game, WLAQ is going to be there to provide a radio coverage for the football game for people that just can't make it to the game. And then I understand that that Whitfield Academy will have some sort of a video stream provided as well if they'd like to follow the video coverage, I'm assuming through the NFHS. Do you know the details on that?
I do not know the full details on that, but they're supposed to be sharing the live stream information with us, and that'll be posted on the Darlington website and probably Darlington social media.
Okay, so we've got a suggestion for you there.
You can mute that,
and then you can hear your local guys on there calling the game for the Tigers.
Just like we used to do when, you know, Georgia and Larry Munson. You cut the TV down, you turn Munson on, we got to get Matt Davis and Ian on the radio for the Tigers. So that's right.
And I understand we may be out in the crowd, so if anybody stops by Bucky's, bring Matt some beaver nuggets or something. You can shower him with them.
Well, and we probably won't be hard to spot because I know there's at least some chance of rain in the forecast. So we'll probably have the WLAQ Roma's listening tent set up there that we'll be under if we're outside.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes. But, Coach, one more question, then we'll let you go. But as far as, you know, game day is concerned, and, you know, kind of walk us through game day, what that looks like for you guys and what you have prepared in terms of getting your guys ready and focused and all those sorts of things as you get ready to head down there. What does that process look like, getting ready for a road game to start the playoffs?
Well, as far as Friday goes, we'll have the kids. I won't get them out of school until 1:20. At 1:20, they'll leave class and they'll report to the locker room at 1:30, and we'll start our basically our pregame routine from there. Now, being a away game, you know, that's why I get them out of school a little bit early. But so we'll start passing out uniforms, we'll start passing out socks, we'll pass out travel bags, and so we'll pack our bags, we'll load those bags up. From there, we'll go to position meetings, offense, defensive position meetings. We'll do special teams call out, special teams walkthroughs to make sure we're all locked in on special teams plan, go over reminders and tips and checks for special teams, and then we'll do an offense and defensive walkthrough with a simulation scout look to make sure, you know, just last minute, make sure you understand blocking rules, blocking assignments, making sure we fit run plays the correct way, make sure we're matching pass routes, their top plays correctly. And so then we'll get on the bus. We'll drive about an hour to Dallas, Georgia. We'll have our pregame meal at Jim and Nick's there. Get on the bus after about 45 minutes at Jim and Nick's, and we'll finish about a 30 or 40-minute ride over to Whitfield Academy, and we'll arrive at 5:30. At 5:30, the players will get off the bus. 5:45, we'll start taping. We'll start getting some pregame locker room music going, getting the energy up. And then at 6:25, our first group will go out. Quarterbacks and kickers will go out and start pregame warm-up. And so
I got to ask you, I mean, I know you're very vocal on the sidelines, animated coach, have a ton of enthusiasm. Are you a motivational speech kind of guy? Or
every now and then I can get a $2 speech and get them going. So
please give us an example. I got to hear one.
Oh, I don't know. You know, some things can't be said on the airwaves, you know. Nah.
Those are my kind of speeches.
But no, you know, I just remind the kids about how special it is to be at Darlington, you know, and what I expect. And, you know, I always try to hold that helmet up and say, you know, that's 100 years of football. You know, that purple paw means something. And that means you should play your tail off for everybody that played at that school before. You play your tail off for your teammates that are sacrificing out here with you. You play it for the fans and the people at that school that can't play that are looking for you to represent our community in the right way. And so you need to go out and play. And so hopefully this Friday we're going to represent our community the right way.
I think that's a good place to end it, man.
Absolutely. I'm ready to go.
We're ready. Yeah. We're ready. All right. Well, we appreciate you tuning in for this episode here of the Coach Grove Show on the WLAQ YouTube channel and also Facebook live feed. And as we close out the show, Coach, thanks for your time, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right. That puts a wrap on it. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your week. And, yeah, we'll see you Friday night coming up. Tigers at Whitfield Academy. Be there. All right. Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Coach Groves Show. We invite you to join us again next week as we discuss all things Darlington football with head coach Wayne Groves. Go Tigers!